Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kingdom Culture Life Redefined podcast. Life Redefined because that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to give us life in abundance to the full till it overflows. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm your host, Larry Flannery, and I'm joined, as always, by my awesome co-host, Dr. Lori. Hello, Dr. Lori.
How you doing this week?
I am doing very, very well. I love modern technology because here I am in Columbus, Mississippi, while we're doing this recording, and you are in?
Perry, Georgia. Yeah.
But yet, here we see each other right here on this awesome computer and doing this great podcast.
Technology
is wonderful, isn't it?
It is amazing.
And y'all had good church today. We're doing this on a Sunday, but we'll launch it tomorrow, so it's getting too hard to act like we're launching this live.
We're not live, people. We're not live, but it's all good.
Someday we might get there. But scheduling is kind of crazy right now. But y'all had awesome church today.
We did. And like you said, technology makes it possible. So we're able to record wherever we're at. So that's pretty awesome.
Because I'm sitting here in a motel room today recording. You get to be in your comfortable home and studio, and I'm here in a hotel room. But it's all good.
That's all good. Yeah, church was awesome today. We had a good word and good move of God. How about you?
Yes, we did. We had revival. I've been here Friday, Saturday, and today. And we had great services here in Columbus, Mississippi.
Awesome.
Some wonderful, wonderful people. Pastor and Sister Glover are great, great people. Well, Lori, last week we started talking about a very powerful subject about forgiveness, and more specifically the freedom to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of things that stuck out to me, that because we're going to continue in that vein today along with the freedom to forgive. But three points mm-hmm. that I wrote down that I wanted to mention as we kick this thing off. Tell me if I got them right. Forgiveness is not a feeling.
Correct.
Forgiveness is a choice.
Mm-hmm. And a hard choice sometimes.
Yes.
Yes.
But we do have to choose.
Ultimately, right? Yes, it's our choice. Yep.
And I love this one. Forgiveness is not for the other person.
That's right.
When I forgive, that sets me free.
Amen.
Right?
That's right. And if we can remember that, those three things, you know, doesn't make it always easy, but it makes it possible, because through God, all things are possible, right?
Yeah, because when we say, well, why should I forgive them? They don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve my forgiveness. They haven't even mm-hmm. apologized. They don't even act like they did anything wrong. Why should I forgive them? They don't deserve my forgiveness. But when you have that revelation that, hey, it's not for them. It's just for you.
That's right.
Is to set your heart free and your spirit free. You set you free emotionally, right?
Yeah, and I know you've probably heard the saying where it says you allow people to live rent-free in your head.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we spend a lot of energy thinking about the hurt, the pain, what they've done to us, when we can either live in the past or we can be set free and live in the future and in our presence. Because if we continue to hold on to it, we're just stuck in the past and we can't move forward into all that God has, you know, prepared for us. So we must let it go so that we can move forward.
Yes. And you can do that. We can do that. We're going to talk about a little bit more how to do that today. But Jesus Christ has paid such a price for you and I, for all of us, to be free and free indeed, to enjoy life, to enjoy living for God on this earth. I don't
Amen.
Believe that the Lord saved us from bondage, delivered us from bondage for us just to continue to be bound by whatever this world throws at us or whatever we went through in our past.
Yeah.
Jesus did not save us from that stuff for us to live a miserable Christian life still weighted down by all that stuff. And unforgiveness, man, it goes out in so many different directions, and it's so heavy and it covers so many things. But
mm-hmm.
that's why we both felt led to kind of talk about this.
Yeah, and we mentioned
right
it
off the bat.
Well, we mentioned it last time that there's people who are still, you know, they're bound by things that happened to them as children. They're bound by people who have hurt them as children. And here they are, you know, 40, 50-year-old people who
yes.
they're still living in the past and the hurt that was inflicted on them. Whenever, like you said, Jesus has come to set us free so that we can live free indeed, right?
Yes. And I, you know, it breaks my heart. It is very sad, so very sad to me when I'm ministering in different places and talking about the battle of the mind and being free in your mind and being free from the mm-hmm. things of your past. And when I have saints of God come up to me, like you just said, that's been in the church 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They're in the choir, they're greeters, they're Sunday school teachers, yeah. They're faithful. Every time the doors open, you know, they're just good, loyal members of the church. But and they come up and tell you, I've been battling that hurt and that pain and that anger for 50 years. I've been in church for 50 years. And I've been dealing with it all ever since I've been in church. I just thought it was a normal way of life.
And you remember, we also said that whenever the hurt is not healed yet, it's because we haven't allowed God deep enough into our heart to heal it, because we do, like, we hold on to stuff and we think in our human mind that God doesn't know what, you know, God doesn't know what I've been through. God doesn't understand my hurt. He doesn't understand, you know, what happened to me, but he is the God of the beginning, the God of the end. He's already in the future. He was in the beginning. He's here today and he's in the future. So everything that we've went through has not taken him by surprise, and he already knows. He's just waiting for us to let it go, to give it to him. And it's that simple to say, God, this is the hurt, because he already knows it. But yep. Some people hold on to it and they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to feel it is the problem, because feeling it, and we're going to talk about a little bit about that today, feeling it is the hard part.
Yep. Absolutely. And so today's broadcast, let's go a little bit deeper on it. Let's talk about forgiveness and reconciliation, forgiveness versus reconciliation. And a few questions that I want to ask you that we will break down as we go along here. But number one, and we're going to discover this again as we go along here, but number one, what does reconciliation look like?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when I forgive someone, do I open back up and let them back into my life? And I think that's a big, big yeah. question right there. And number three, and let's just start right here, is forgiveness and reconciliation the same thing? Because people are going to ask that question. Mm-hmm. I've asked that question. I've been down that road. If I forgive them, do I have to let them back yeah. in my life? So is forgiveness and reconciliation the same thing, Dr. Lori?
It is absolutely not the same thing. Just Lori. But
I call those, yeah,
all of those things that are not that. Yeah. So forgiveness and reconciliation are absolutely not the same thing. And oftentimes when we have someone who hurts us, it is wise for us to put a boundary in that relationship so they don't hurt us over and over and over again. Because, and you know, oftentimes people ask, how do I forgive someone who continuously, like I've forgiven them and they've already done three more things that has hurt me. And those situations are tough. They're very tough situations. And we have to, you know, those are the types of situations we have to take it to God, because it's only wise for us to let people in our life that's going to build us up, not tear us down. And, you know, the company that you keep, it means it has a huge weight and a bearing on your life as to what kind of person you're going to be. So God does not require reconciliation every relationship. And before we get into that, because we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but, you know, I wanted to discuss the couple steps to forgiveness. And we hit on this last time briefly, but I wanted to, you know, kind of go over it again. But the first thing we have to do is acknowledge the hurt. And like I said, if people don't want to feel it, I mean, isn't it easier? You know, because, you know, a lot of men, and you can speak from your point of view, but for one thing, men don't cry. Second thing, men don't have feelings. Third thing, you know, I don't want to feel that. So in your perspective as a man of God, answer this question. Like, do you have feelings? Do you hurt? Do you like to feel those feelings, or do you just not have any emotions? Answer that for me, because I mean, I've heard men of God say, I don't have emotions. And that's the furthest thing from the truth.
I don't want to talk about that. I didn't want to get on here and talk about my feelings.
Exactly. But we have to acknowledge the hurt before we can. That's the first step, right?
That's exactly right. And you're right. You're right about that. And that is something that men do deal with and do struggle with. And you know, we just had a men's conference with Pastor Marshall in his church in Rogersville. Greater Vision Ministries does an Overcome conference. They do a women's conference and a men's conference. And it's a smaller type conference, and it's a more intimate and involved type conference. And I've taught there with them and helped them the last 2 years. But we get pretty deep and pretty heavy in those things. Now, the difference in those two different conferences, and we joke about this with Sister Marshall and some of the ladies when I go back to church there, is when they have their conferences, they take about 150 boxes of Kleenexes. when the men has their conference, we might use one Kleenex between all 30 of us.
Yeah. You know, just a little share one box.
But there is some emotions, and there is tears, and men can learn how to open up. I think you got to get past that macho image, that Lone Ranger mindset. And plus, you know, you start dealing with emotionalism, getting into your emotions. You got to know you got somebody you can trust.
Right.
Especially if you've been hurt in the past.
Yeah,
a man can lock it up and say, "Nah, I tried that and it backfired on me, so I'm good. I'll handle it. I'll pull myself up by my own bootstraps and put these walls up, and I'll just keep my mouth shut and mind my own business, and you mind your own business." But that generally does not help.
No, it's not healthy and does not help. And we can use Joseph as an example. He was a man of God, right? And so we won't go into the whole story of his life, but, you know, he was hurt by close family members. His brothers hurt him. His brothers sold him into slavery. His brothers, you know, basically staged his death and went back and told all the lies on him. And he suffered because of what they did to him. So if you continue on with the story, when there was a famine in the land, the brothers came for food, not knowing that Joseph, and it was all... Remember, the reason they hated him so much is because of the dream that he had. And he told them, like, you're going to bow before me someday, right? Am I remembering all this correctly?
Yeah.
And it was jealousy. It was envy. It was all these emotions that his brothers felt against him. So they did this to him. And it would have been very easy when they stood before Joseph hungry for him just to say, you know, they did all that to me. Let them suffer some. Let them, you know how it feels to be hurt. But he didn't. He chose forgiveness. He chose to feed them. He chose to help them. He chose reconciliation other than unforgiveness. And so if his brothers then would have spit on him and did all the things they did in the past, would it have been wise for Joseph to allow them back into his life? So we have to think about those things. But we're going to talk about, because God does require, in some relationships, he does require reconciliation, but there's a list that we need to talk about. And we have to remember that forgiveness is not saying that it was okay that his brothers hurt him. You did what you did to me. It was okay. It's letting go of the hurt and experiencing the freedom that only God can give to us through reconciliation, right? I mean, through forgiveness. And then reconciliation is not always guaranteed. So just because I forgave you does not guarantee that we'll continue to do life together.
Right.
You got anything to add to that before we move on to number two?
No, let's move on to number two. That sounds good.
So surrender the right to punish, God will repay. So we have to surrender our right to punish that person and let God take care of them and let him take charge. And that's hard to do as well, because we want to repay vengeance with vengeance, right? That's what we're taught as humans, to repay vengeance with vengeance, but that's not God's way. And if we allow God to take care of it, he's going to make sure that it has handled the right way. And then, so we wonder, how do we let God surrender that right, let God repay? Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. So that leads us into number three, pray for them. How hard is it to pray for somebody who has done you wrong, who has hurt you, like done all evil against you? How hard is it to pray for them? I'm asking you.
How hard was it for Jesus hanging on the cross? Yes. To say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Exactly.
And as he has forgiven us, we are commanded to forgive others.
That's right. And if you read through the story also, you know, with Jesus and the disciples, his quote unquote close friends, you know, when he was in the garden praying, he just asked them, can you pray with me? Can you just pray with me for a little while? Guess what they did? They slept. They couldn't even stay awake to pray with him. You know, so he felt the same emotions that we feel when people hurt us and when people wrong us. I mean, they turned on him. They, you know, outed him to the police. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers.
Yeah.
So yeah, like he did all, but he still loved his enemies. He still prayed for those who persecuted him. So every time we pray for that person, it softens our bitter, hardened heart little by little, layer by layer, and our heart becomes softened. And then a seed can fall on that and something beautiful comes from all the hurt. He promises beauty from ashes. He promises joy, the joy of the oil of joy instead of mourning. He promises that when we pray and we ask God to help us in these situations, that he will. So when you can pray for their full repentance, for their salvation, you can live in freedom of forgiveness.
Yes. That sets you free. That sets you free. That's the ultimate freedom. That's the ultimate sign that this thing no longer controls you and dominates you. There's no triggers there, anything like that. When you can pray for that individual, for them to be forgiven, for them to be healed, for them to be saved or whatever, for God to bless their life. When you can pray that, man, that you've stepped into ultimate freedom.
That, and it is freedom, like you said, total freedom, that you no longer want them to pay, you no longer want them to hurt, you no longer want retaliation. You just want them to live in freedom and you to live in freedom. So after you go ahead.
That's when you can live in joy and peace and freedom. That's when you can enjoy your life again.
Exactly.
And I said this at the beginning. Jesus came that we might have life. Life in abundance to the full till it overflows, the Amplified says. God wants us to enjoy life. Why did he put us here on this earth for so long? Why did he bless us with such a beautiful planet and all that there is on this beautiful, gorgeous planet that God created for us? He wants us to enjoy our lives on this earth as Christians. We were miserable as sinners. We were lost in sin. Mm-hmm. We were separated from God. But now we are in Christ Jesus. We are in the kingdom of God. We will say this a lot because this is kingdom culture. This is what the kingdom of God is: righteousness, peace, and joy. Yeah. Righteousness, peace, and joy is our heritage. It's who we're supposed to be, enjoying life. Yes. And this is another, we'll go deeper in this later on down the road somewhere, but I don't think that God intended for church to be, church settings to be every single Sunday. It's the same group of his children coming in, having to get cheered up and encouraged and prayed for over the same battles every single week, every single week. We're supposed to be getting free, living freedom, so we can turn around and set other people free.
And so they see what we have and they want what we have. And we can then share our testimony that, you know what? I was hurt. I was, you know, this happened to me, but God set me free. And you can have that same freedom. That's what it's supposed to be about.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I guess we can now move into what it looks like for if we decide to reconcile that relationship or to join fellowship with that person again. So once we have forgiven, first of all, we have to be open to reconcile. And also you have to decide if this relationship is a healthy relationship to continue, or should you put that boundary in place so that they don't hurt you again. And people may or may not agree with this statement, but I often, you know, tell people that I work with, it's a privilege. And this is the way I feel like feel about my life is it's a privilege for you to be a part of my life. And if you're going to continue, and I hope that doesn't sound arrogant because I don't mean for it to, but if you want to be a part of my life, then you have to respect me, respect my, you know, respect me in the fact that you're not going to break my trust. You're not going to hurt me. You're not going to, you know, do things to hurt me. And it's a privilege to be a part of people's lives. So we have to respect them. So if we begin to reconcile that relationship and it's a healthy, it can become a healthy relationship, then we move forward. So Romans 12 and 18 tells us, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So that doesn't seem fair that we're the ones who were hurt, but now we have to deal with the pain. We have to live at peace. We have to do all the work. But we're talking about the path to freedom of life. So once again, forgiveness is for us, right?
Yes, forgiveness is for us.
So sometimes our thoughts may be, if I forgive this person, then I have to let them back into my life to hurt me all over again. Or sometimes the thought may be, I didn't let them back in, so now I feel guilty because apparently I haven't forgiven them. And God says I have to forgive. So it's like salt in the wound. We deal with guilt and shame over not letting them back into our life. So we want to help people in this aspect to have freedom from this because, I mean, the guilt and the shame that we carry from not doing life with them anymore, that's enough to keep us bound also and from that freedom, that joy, that peace that we're talking about. So if we talk about forgiveness along with reconciliation or fellowship with that person, this is what it would look like. Forgiveness means I do. Fellowship and reconciliation means we do. So if you're back in my life, we do life together. And yes, you go ahead.
You do not, just because you love God and God has forgiven you and you have forgiven, you do not have to feel guilty for not letting that person back.
That's
in your
right.
Life. Let me say it this way. Just because you love God and you have forgiven, you're forgiven, you've accepted God's forgiveness and you have forgiven them, does not mean you have to put yourself continually in a position to be abused by them over and over and over again.
That is exactly right. And that's kind of, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah. And I read this quote from Victor Jackson, who is an apostolic minister. I don't know if
I've heard of him. Yeah.
On social media, but I seen he posted this on Instagram the other day and I thought it was perfect for this. He said, forgiveness only needs one person, but reconciliation needs both people. Reconciliation means that both people are willing to make concessions in order to restore their relationship. If only one side makes concessions, but the other side refuses to move or change their harmful, toxic, abusive behaviors, then reconciliation is not possible. Reconciliation is always the aim, but sometimes we have to settle for forgiveness. Here's a key, with healthy boundaries.
Very good.
You find that to be right?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, and you have to look at it. And the issue that takes place is some people don't recognize harmful, toxic, abusive behaviors. So we have to really, like, once again, hide the word of God in our hearts and have the Spirit of God leading us in those relationships so that we begin to recognize what is harmful, what is toxic, what is abusive. And if you still, like, if you're struggling with that, find someone to talk to that can speak into your life to help you to pinpoint these characteristics of abusive behaviors. So back to reconciliation required by God, if and only these things are present. So God does not require us to always reconcile, but if someone, and this is based on like true repentance, that this person has really chosen to change and turn their life around, we have some guidelines that will help you to figure out if this is a relationship that I need to reconcile. If that person is made a true change and that change has taken place in the offender's life, then that gives us indication that, okay, it may be okay for me to reconcile this relationship. trust has to be rebuilt in the relationship. And this takes time and it requires transparency on both parts. You know, one of the biggest offenses that can happen is in a marriage, if, you know, one of the other spouse, you know, if there's a indiscrepancy or one that has cheated, it's really hard because the goal is to reconcile, but that trust has to be rebuilt. The trust and a change has to take place. That's just one example of a hurt. So both parties must honor and respect boundaries placed on that relationship. And if these three things, you know, just those three quick things are not being honored or not being, you know, sought out, and you can see a change in that person's life, then, you know, reconciliation doesn't have to take place. So, and true repentance, the dialogue would sound something like, "I'm sorry for hurting you. I was wrong for what I did. Will you forgive me?" If those things are not being said, it's going to be hard for you to move forward and to reconcile that relationship.
That's good. That's good. Forgiveness is necessary, but fellowship is not always necessary.
Exactly.
Right. Why must we forgive?
Well, first of all,
the Word of God teaches us to forgive.
That's the only reason we need to forgive, right? We need to.
Yes.
That's the only reason we need. And then 2 Timothy, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Lord have mercy. I know I have met some difficult people in my life. And you know what I'm starting to realize? The difficult people that I struggle with are the people that are more like me. And we really butt heads. And I've started to realize that about myself. And it goes back to temperament. And people that I find that are more like me, those are the ones that I kind of struggle with. But it's possible to forgive those people. It's possible to live in peace with those people. Doesn't mean that I have to go to Sunday lunch every week with them. It doesn't mean that we have to have Christmas vacation together, but it does mean that I have to love them. I have to support them. I have to pray for them, and I have to wish them well in the kingdom of God.
Right.
So
I like what Victor Jackson said, healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Healthy boundaries. If that relationship is not healthy for you, healthy meaning mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, because it's just draining you dry or sucking all the life and energy out of you. If it's not healthy for you financially, they're always bumming money off of you, always doing whatever, then you need to set boundaries around that. And not feel guilty.
But you set a boundary.
If it's harmful to your marriage, you need to set boundaries and not feel guilty. It's healthy boundaries. I love that. I love that.
And it's very important. Like I said, if you can't recognize healthy boundaries for yourself, find someone in your life that you can talk to, a pastor, a counselor, you know, someone that you can talk to help you spot these harmful, toxic relationships and how you can set a good, healthy boundary. You know, Jesus felt that the 2 Timothy, where we just said, you know, to be patient, to love people, to be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. He felt this was so important that he taught his best friends to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It was important enough that he included it in his prayer that he taught them how to pray. So this is something that we're going to have to do, like, on a daily basis, if not several times a day, to forgive people as they hurt us. And it really helps to understand the phrase "hurt people, hurt people." When I begin to look at people who've hurt me and I think about the things that they've been through and the reasons why they react the way that they react, it helps me to be more forgiving because they're hurt as well. And someone in the past has hurt them. So if we can just learn to forgive, learn to overlook, and that's going to lead kind of into our next episode, is how to love difficult people. So forgiveness is not easy, but it's possible, right?
It is possible, because Matthew 19:26, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And that's what we said several times, and we'll continue to say this, and we need to understand this. You can't do it. Number one, you can't do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In your own ability, you'll probably never be able to accomplish it. But God didn't intend for you to do it by yourself.
That's right.
He didn't intend for you to do it in your own ability. He intended for you to draw on His strength, His power, His might, His grace, His mercy, His love. He intended for you to draw on the power of the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you, that lives in
you. That's right.
You got a supernatural nature that lives in you to draw from, to enable you to forgive.
Yes.
Even the most painful circumstance and situation.
Well, you know, someone shared a comment with me about their life, and they were in a very abusive relationship. And so they, you know, something supernatural takes place when you can love someone who has hurt you so deeply. And supernatural love is a gift of the Spirit, right?
Yes.
So, but we have to tap into that gift and practice it. And the more you choose forgiveness, the more it becomes possible. And she told me, like, after her, you know, she had left the relationship. And at the time, it didn't look like it would be reconciled. It didn't look like it was something that ever could be fixed. It was a lot of abuse in the marriage, to the children, to her, a lot of physical, emotional, you know, verbal, every kind of abuse that you could think of, it was given. And so fast forward, all that she wanted was for God to heal, you know, to heal the relationships. She didn't want to reconcile with the marriage. She didn't want to, you know, do anything other than just heal these relationships. And she told me that for her to forgive her abusive husband, it had to be supernatural, because it isn't normal for a normal person in their flesh to love someone and to forgive someone who's actually hurt them. And that was like, that just stuck out like so bold in my mind, that is what it's all about. The supernatural love that Jesus gives us. Only Jesus can do that. That you can love someone, pray for them, forgive them. And, you know, and God has really in their family unit, you know, they can hang out and have game night now. They can go on vacations together. And God, you know, it's not reconciled as a marriage, but they can be there for their children. And yeah, forgiveness has taken place. And that's only God can do that. So it is possible. It's very much possible. It may not look like the relationship in the past, or it may not look like what you think the relationship should look like. But it doesn't mean that it can't be God ordained. It can't be something beautiful once again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So do you want to recap the practical application as we end the episode? You want me to go ahead and do that?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. So to recap, practical application, get your pen and paper. You will be graded. So number one, acknowledge the hurt. What does that mean? Feel it. Write it down. Acknowledge, like really acknowledge how you've been hurt. And if you can't come up with, you know, the feelings or the emotions, like grab you a chart with some emotions on it and just see which ones like really hit hard. Number two, surrender the right to punish. Let Jesus take control of that. How do you do that? You just ask Him, like, Jesus, help me to surrender this right to punish them. You take control of this situation, casting every care, every concern, everything on Jesus. Number three, pray for them. And, you know, when we start praying for someone who's hurt us, it may not be a 15-minute prayer. It may not be an hour prayer. It may just be, Jesus, bless them today. That may be all that you can get out. Jesus, keep your hand upon them today. That may be all that you can get out, but just start there. And then number four, every day, make that same choice until that true forgiveness takes root in the heart. And when you can honestly pray for them, you can mean it, and you can hope they prosper and mean it, and you can want good for them and mean it, you know true supernatural forgiveness has taken place in your heart.
Absolutely.
And that equals freedom.
Absolutely. I like what you said, every day, make the same choice.
Yeah.
Until, I love that, until. Every day make the same choice until true forgiveness takes root in your heart. Every day make the same choice until the love of God is taken over so strongly that it's no longer a choice anymore. It's not even there anymore. It's not a part of your life. It's done. You've grown past that. It controls you no more, and you're truly and absolutely free.
Because, you know, we honestly can retrain our brains to think a different, and whenever that person's name is mentioned or we think about the hurt, we can retrain our brain to actually think of good and not bad. It just takes effort, and it takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes Jesus to transform. But it is possible.
It is possible. When we truly accept God's forgiveness, then we can forgive ourselves. We can forgive others. We can extend the grace of God to others when we receive the grace of God truly for ourselves. If we don't accept God's forgiveness, we don't forgive others. We don't forgive ourselves. We don't forgive others. We're not truly free. If we don't forgive ourselves, we don't forgive others.
That's right.
We are not truly free. We can worship. We can sing the best songs. We can lift our hands. We can clap. We can do all those things that we do. But if we're carrying unforgiveness towards God, towards ourselves, or towards other people, we are not truly free. And Jesus Christ, through his great love for us, wants us free in every area of our life.
Amen.
The freedom to forgive. Jesus wants you to live free, my friend, and to enjoy your life. Enjoy being a child of God. Enjoy being a Christian. Most of us spent a lot of our younger years being unhappy and being miserable with the things of life and sin and all that other stuff that we went through and we carried. Now it's time to enjoy life, enjoy our freedom, enjoy what God has done for us and blessed us with.
Amen.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean that life will be perfect. It's the choice that we make that in every season that God is on the throne and God is reigning and God is in control, and choosing, making that choice that everything is going to be okay because I have Jesus in me. That's the amazing thing, is he lives in us.
That's the amazing thing. That's right. And I'm perfect. You can speak for yourself, but I'll speak
Well,
for
we know
myself.
You're perfect. Yes. There was never a question.
Well, good.
You don't struggle.
That's right. Amen.
We made that clear. You don't struggle. Yes.
And next week.
I wish you guys could see him right now, because he literally has his hands up in the air with his muscles flexing.
Superman. Next week, Lori, next week, what's love got to do with it? That's what we want to talk about. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, friends. We love you. Thank you for listening to us. We've been getting a lot of feedback from quite a few of you. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate it very much. We do not take this lightly. We're not just wanting to throw something out there just to be doing something. You got a bazillion other podcasts you can be listening to. And we just pray that we can minister to you and help you, grow you, mature you as a child of God in the kingdom of God. And
Amen.
Just try to help everyone see and understand what kingdom culture looks like. The Lord Jesus bless you and increase you more and more and more every day. May you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. God bless you. We'll see you next week.